Today, I would like to explain a little bit more about the practice of mindfulness of breathing, Anapanasati. As I said yesterday, there are four stages. First one, you're just mindful of in-breath and out-breath. Second stage, you are mindful of the long and short of in-breath and out-breath. And when your mind becomes more calm, you should be able to notice the beginning, middle, and the end of in-breath, and the beginning, middle, and the end of out-breath, even with the pause. But when your mind is not calm, you are unable to notice, we call the whole breath body. And as your concentration develops, the breath will become more subtle, very subtle, under the nostril. So at this moment, most people will lose his mindfulness because the breath become difficult to catch. And some people, they may take, they may try to make the breath clearer, so that the mind can anchor on it, which is not encouraged. When you make your breath more clear, it means that your mind is gross again, become gross, gross again. So you should not try to make the breath clear again. Subtle breath produces good concentration. Therefore, if you're breathing still very loud, it means that your mind is not calm at all. You have to calm down your breath first. Only then you can go to deep concentration. So you must check your own breath. Am I breathing very loud? If still very loud, then calm down. If not, you cannot go to concentration. Okay? So when the breath is so subtle, at this moment, you have to be mindful. But people ask, when I say you have to be more mindful or strengthen your mindfulness, and people tend to ask, how? How? So at this moment, you just know you are breathing, although you cannot feel the air at all. But you know you are breathing. Just know you are breathing. That's mindfulness. You don't have to put too much effort in order to follow that small spot. That tired, your mind will become tired soon. It's not necessary. Just know you are breathing, although there's no breath. As long as your mindfulness not forget that you are breathing and you keep your attention still in front of you, or in front of your face or under the nostril, soon you will feel the breath again. And at this point, when the breath becomes so subtle and difficult to follow, and when you at this moment, if you lose your mindfulness, then your mind will go into a state called Bhavanga state. What is this Bhavanga state? Bhavanga state is like dreaming state, but very peaceful. Sorry, I should not say dreaming state. Bhavanga state is like you don't know anything. You don't know anything, but it's very peaceful. Then after a few seconds or few minutes, then you start to realize, just now, where is my mind? I lost my mindfulness, but it's very peaceful. It's very good. Because it's peaceful, it's very good, then most people tend to go into that Bhavanga state again. And for some people who don't have knowledge, they may think this peaceful state is Nibbana, which is far from it. Okay? This is called, you should have knowledge. To discriminate, to know what it is, what is not. Okay. So in order not to let your mind fall into Bhavanga, Bhavanga is called, translated as life continuum. So in order not to let your mind fall into that state, mindfulness is very important. As long as you do not lose your mindfulness on the breath, then you will not fall into the Bhavanga state. It's only that you lose your object that the mind falls into Bhavanga state. Okay. Then as you keep on meditating, very calm, then suddenly light appears. When light appear, people first time, if he has not yet experienced the light, he may get shocked. He feels very shocking because he never experienced this before. Although the teacher had mentioned maybe 100 times, he still get the shock because what you heard and what you experienced is completely different. So when you get a shock, the moment you get a shock, the light disappears. The light is very shine. Your shock is so great, so strong impact, then the light will disappear. Therefore, get ready for it if it comes. If it does not come, don't expect. Okay? So when it comes, forget it. Why? Because for most meditators, the light comes, first time comes, come and go, come and go, come and go. The light comes just to greet you that you are progressing. Then I will go again. If you continue, I will come back again. So you continue breathing in, breathing out, breathing. Then the light will come back again. This time lasts a little bit longer. Then go again. Then come again. So long you don't turn your attention to the light will keep on coming back and stay longer and longer. Initially, the light comes from different direction. We call it light. We do not call it nimitta. Nimitta means sign of concentration. So light is different from nimitta. You must understand this point. Now come to the question. Why should I keep my attention under the nose tree or in front of the face? Because this is the place where the nimitta should stay. If you keep your attention in the abdomen, according to the practice of mindfulness of breathing, nimitta should be under the nostril or in front of the face. So if you keep your attention in the abdomen, how the nimitta should appear? Keep attention here, nimitta will not come here. So it's not possible for you to enter into jhana. Therefore, why? In the first place, I ask you to keep your attention under the nostril or in front of you, not the chest, not the abdomen. This is the reason. Okay? So when your concentration becomes deeper, then the light, first it may appear far away from your face. As your concentration develops, it come closer. Come closer. Not everybody experience the same. Some people immediately experience in front of the face, some far away. So different people experience differently. So if it come closer, then stay. That's good. Then stay in front of you, that's called nimitta. Or under the nostril. The real 100% nimitta is when you breathe in, the light come together with your breath. When you breathe out, breathe in, it goes in. When you breathe out, it comes out. Together with the breath, this is called 100% nimitta. No one should doubt about it. But very few people experience this way. Most people come out just light in front of the face. So if it is nimitta, first we have three types of nimitta. First we call preliminary nimitta. It is gray color, like a smoke, gray here. As the concentration develops, the color will change to white, white light cotton wool, white color, not so bright yet. And this is called learning sign. First is preliminary sign, gray color. Second stage is white color called learning sign. And as your concentration develop again, it change to brilliant color, very bright light, like diamond. Like diamond shining or like morning star, like sunlight. Sometimes the light can be so bright when it shine on you, you may shed your tears. And some people may not get used to it, because before it's all dark, now all bright, so he may not get used to it. Huh? But gradually you have to get used to it. It's very pleasant. Huh? And when become bright, like morning star or diamond, if it is stable, what does it mean, stable? Stable means it stay there for 20 minutes without changing form. Without changing any form, or without appear, disappear, appear, disappear. So it's called stable. So it is stable there for 20 minutes, then you can shift your attention from the breath to the nimitta. Because you will come to a point, you will ask me, sister, when should I look at the nimitta? The answer is when the nimitta is stable, firm, not changing form, not disappearing, constantly in front of you, of your face, or under the nose shield. Then this is the time you should look at nimitta. And some people, when the nimitta appear, stay there, although he did not change his attention from the breath to the nimitta, but the mind, the attention of the mind automatically go into it, then please let it be. Don't try to separate, say, hey, sister say must wait until 20 minutes. Then your mind is, then it's not correct. When the mind automatically goes into it, without you intentionally direct it, if it goes automatically, then this is the right time. You should go and see, watch, or notice, or observe the nimitta. Let the mind sink into that nimitta as long as possible. Some people may sink into 5 minutes, then come out again. Then some 10 minutes. As you keep on practicing, you will stay with the nimitta for longer period. Maybe half an hour, 1 hour. If your concentration become deep, then 2 hours. At that time, no pain at all. No suffering, no more suffering. Only pleasant and rapture suffuse whole body. So these are the process you will encounter during the practice. I'll let you know first. If not, interview everybody, ask the same question. I have to answer 10 times. Okay? So bear in mind, what I say, all must keep in the memory. Only then you know, even though without interview, you know how to proceed. Okay? Okay, so these are the things that you should learn. And okay, in order to make further progress, walking also important. Continuous mindfulness on the breath is very important. When you are doing work, except eating. Walking here and there, walking to dining hall, try to be mindful. Slow down your motion so that you can catch up with the mindfulness. If you walk fast, usually you lose your mindfulness. Even I walk fast, I also lose my mindfulness. So only for 10 days, walk slow. Okay, so these are a few things I need to tell you. Okay, then today I will continue the talk from yesterday. Yesterday we talked about the benefit of concentration. Then we talk about the first benefit is pleasant abiding here and now. Second, concentration can be used to develop psychic power. And I have talked about psychic power of recollecting of one's past life. And the second psychic power, which is very useful, is divine eyes. Divine eyes. When a person develops this divine eyes, he can see other sentient beings in this world, which cannot be seen through ordinary eyes. For example, he can see heavenly beings, and he can see hell beings. So what's the point seeing all these heavenly beings, hell beings? It doesn't help me in my meditation. No, it is very important to see other beings. Why? Because when you see other beings, if you have this divine eyes, psychic power, when you see the heavenly being, you also understand, the knowledge will come to you. Why these beings are reborn in heaven? What are the good karma they perform? They're reborn in heaven. And when you see hell beings, then you also understand why those beings are reborn in hell, not in heaven. So what are the bad karma they perform that cause them to be reborn in hell? This is called understanding the law of karma, which is not frequently emphasized in USA. The law of karma. So when you have divine eyes, you see the cause and effect of different types of being. Why human being? Why people reborn as human? Why people reborn as heavenly beings? Why people reborn as hell beings? Why people reborn as animals or ghosts, and so on? So this knowledge will come very clear to you, all because of karma. Therefore, Buddha said, we are born by our own karma, we are heir of our karma, we are originated from our karma. So your understanding of the law of karma become unshakable. So this is the benefit when you develop the psychic power. Buddha, before his enlightenment, he sit under Bodhi tree and practice anapana like you. He practiced anapana up to fourth jhana. After fourth jhana, he started to recollect the knowledge come to his, the psychic power of recollecting of his past life come to him. So he started to see his past life one after another, one after another, one after another. Then he know how much he practiced in his past life in order to become Buddha in this life. If not, you think one lifetime we can become Buddha. Not possible. So he see from his past life how much he has strived, how much time, how much lifetime he had practiced meditation up to perfection. Then at his last birth as Prince Siddhartha, then sit under the Bodhi tree, he become Buddha. So he can see his past. This first knowledge that arose in him. After that, second knowledge that arose in him is divine eyes, as I said just now. Divine eyes, he start to see different sentient beings in this universe. He start to see the karma that makes beings different. So this is the second knowledge he gained. And the third knowledge he gained, which is most important, is the destruction of the taints. All his defilement start to fade away. The destruction of the taint. So these are the three knowledges he gained after fourth jhana of anapana. Then he gained these three knowledges. Okay. So this is the benefit of developed concentration. psychic power and the destruction of the ten. This destruction of the ten, I will deal with it maybe today or tomorrow. Okay. Now we come to, there are also other psychic power, but we come here not to learn psychic power, so I will not talk in detail. Now we go to the third benefit. When a person develops concentration, that concentration leads to mindfulness and clear comprehension. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. When feeling arises in a person, he knows. Because of concentration, then he also develop mindfulness and clear comprehension. So when feeling, whatever feeling, there are three types of feelings: pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So whenever this pleasant feeling arises in him, he knows this pleasant feeling arises in me. And when the feeling persists, he knows the feeling persists. When the feeling passes away, he knows the feeling passes away. But you may think, why so important to see this? If feeling, pleasant feeling arises in you, you do not know. What will happen? Do we have feeling, pleasant feeling arising in you? Yes. So if you do not notice, what will happen?
Desire.
Yeah. Because of pleasant feeling, desire arises. Craving, attachment, clinging arises. And precisely Buddha say, all desires, craving, clinging, attachment are the cause of all suffering. The second noble truth. The origin of suffering. What are the origin of suffering? Attachment, desire, clinging. So when feeling arises in you and you do not know, then your mind will be beset by craving, attachment, clinging, and you suffer on the spot. Not only you suffer on the spot, you think it's not suffering because you enjoy it. You enjoy the attachment, you enjoy the desire, you enjoy the attachment, clinging. You think it's enjoyment. So what you perceive enjoyment is very different from what Buddha perceived. Buddha say, yes, the moment you enjoy it, there is some pleasure, satisfaction. But it is very dangerous. It has its own fault and danger if you enjoy it. First, it leaves behind karmic tendency in your mind. One time you enjoy sensual pleasures, then you add in the ingredient of greed in your behavior and character. So you shape your character, you shape greedy character in you. As time goes on, every time when there's pleasant feeling, there's attachment, you never control. Never know. Just follow the pleasant feeling, follow the attachment. Then you become more and more greedy person. When the greed is developed in such a way, you find very difficult next time to go for retreat. Because you cannot sever your attachment to many things. To your job, to your business, to your parents, family, to the food or to the soft bed and so on. Because the greed develops every time there's pleasant feeling arising in you. Therefore, without concentration, sometimes when the pleasant arises in us, we don't even know. Because there's no concentration in mind. The mind is not clear. The concentration makes the mind very clear. There's clarity of the mind. Whatever emotion, whatever mental state, whatever feeling that arises in you, immediately you know. Just like when you come to meditation, when there's small drowsiness, you know. Why? Because of concentration. The mind is so clear. Whatever little bit emotional that arises in your mind, immediately you know. There is the power of concentration. Only when you know, only when you know what is arising in your mind, you can counterattack, you can overcome it. Not until you follow your passion, you follow your attachment, later on then, too slow, too late already. I was carried away by my defilements. No, that karma is already performed. Every mental, unwholesome mental state is behind karmic tendency. And this karmic tendency will follow you life after life. As I say, karma is very fair. You enjoy now, you pay later. Therefore, we have to practice restraint. Practice concentration, clear mindfulness and clear comprehension, so to free ourselves whenever the defilement arises at the present moment, not later on. So now, since you have accumulating concentration for 4 days already, and through your interview, I know many people are making good progress. I'm very satisfied. Okay. And in order to sharpen your knowledge now, not concentration, sharpen your knowledge of insight, I want you to contemplate feeling during eating. Okay. Now you have tried 3 days, contemplate four element meditation. Now, I want you to contemplate feeling, because you have developed concentration already. Buddha say, once you develop concentration, it leads to mindfulness and clear comprehension. When feeling arises, you know. When feeling persists, you know. When feeling passes away, you know. So please test your concentration during eating. When the food touch your tongue sensitivity, feel, how do you feel? What type of feeling? You can let go the four elements first. Just practice one feeling. We call contemplation of on feeling. Vedana, Nupassana, Satipatthana. Contemplation on feeling. So even before the food touches your tongue, when your eye start to look at the food, there is feeling already. So try to see your feeling. What type of feeling arises in you? For most people, pleasant feeling. If it's unpleasant, you will not take the food. Right? So for most people, it's pleasant feeling. So when it's pleasant feeling, then close your eyes, see your feeling. Okay, feeling has arisen in me. It's called mindfulness and clear comprehension. So now, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Know it, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. And see whether this feeling persists or disappears. This is your task, okay? Whether this pleasant feeling persists or increases, become more and more, and become desire. I want to eat quickly. Or it passes away. So please see it by yourself. The Dhamma is for people to come and see by yourself. Okay. Then after that, then you start eating. When the food touches the tongue, also very pleasant feeling. So see the feeling, feel it. Pleasant feeling. If it's unpleasant, then you know it's unpleasant. If it is neither pleasant nor unpleasant, no, it's neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Only 3 types of feeling. Okay? So know it. You can continue chewing. When the food touches the tongue, when there's contact, there is feeling. So you notice the feeling and you can continue to chew. See the feeling is increases or become less or passes away. Either it persists, increase, decrease or passes away. Only in this 3. persists, increases, decreases, or passes away. Or change to another type of feeling, also possible. Okay? So please practice this mindfulness and clear comprehension. I don't teach in the first day because first day you have no concentration. Now, fourth day, you should be able to notice it. So see it again. Then after that, another different type of dishes, right? So feel it, another feeling. It is very, very important for a practitioner to know how to contemplate feeling. Why? Because dependent on feeling, craving arises. And craving is the origin of all suffering. I stress again the second noble truth. So if you know how to contemplate feeling and stop at a feeling, then craving will not develop. When craving is not developed, the mind is not agitated. When the mind is not agitated, Buddha said, you personally attained Nibbana. But if you wait until craving develops at a time, because of craving, you lose your tranquility of the mind. Now, because of craving, your mind becomes enslaved. You want to get it. Without getting it, your mind is so agitated, so restless. At that time, you want to sever the craving, you want to counterattack the craving, become very difficult already. Why? Because the craving has gained the momentum already. And your concentration, mindfulness, and insight is not as strong as your craving, then you will be defeated. Therefore, before craving develop into, before pleasant feeling develop into craving, you watch feeling first. If you are able to see craving arises, persist, and passes away, then if you are able to see feeling, pleasant feeling arises, persist, passes away, then no more craving. You don't have to put double energy, strenuous energy to fight with craving. But you may think, one of my students said, sister, if like that, I cannot enjoy anything anymore. What is the life for? This word should not be spoken out by a practitioner. You come here to practice not because you want enjoyment, right? You come here to practice because you want to remove defilements. It's defilements that make you suffer, not other things. It is craving, attachment, anger, jealousy, envy, all this that make you suffer, not other things. As I say, you can enjoy, but you have to pay a letter. There's no way to avoid it. Okay, so try, use your concentration developed so far to watch your feeling, especially during eating. Because other time, your feeling may not so strong. Other time, there's less impingement of sense object. Then, less feeling. When there's less feeling, you cannot notice so well. But during eating process, I think your mindfulness cannot catch up with so much different type of arising, different type of feeling that arise and pass away. But if you can catch one or two, follow one or two enough, as time goes on, your concentration becomes deeper, you will see more and more. Okay? So we should stop here. Any questions? Okay, what is the difference? She asked, what's the difference? Mindfulness and clear comprehension, do they go together? Mindfulness, for example, pleasant feeling arises. Pleasant feeling arises. You know, you're aware of it. This is called mindfulness. Okay? Clear comprehension is you know pleasant feeling is impermanent. So when it arises, you know. When it passes away, you know. So you see the arising and passing away of pleasant feeling, This is called clear comprehension. So clear comprehension means knowledge or wisdom. So clear mindfulness and clear comprehension can be translated, or can be another word is mindfulness and wisdom. Okay. Only when you have mindfulness, wisdom will follow. Without mindfulness, even pleasant feeling arises in you, you do not know. If you do not know, you also do not know when it passes away. So two must go together. Okay. Therefore, just now I say, when feeling arises, no, persists also no, passes away also no. So when you know feeling arises, persists, passes away, it also shows that you know the impermanent of the feeling. This is called wisdom.
I have two questions about your thinking. When you said you reach the final stage of the nirvana, and I believe you said you feel rapture then. The first question is that the first jhana or access to the first jhana? And the second question is...
One by one, okay. So when you feel rapture, when you feel rapture or piti, it doesn't mean that you have entered into first jhana already, you know. Some people even, you know, without nimitta, they also can feel the rapture. So rapture is very gross type. For example, you feel goose pimple. You feel the electric current all over the body, also rupture. You feel the vibration, you feel the lightness, all these are signs of rupture. But it doesn't mean that you have entered into jhana, no. Okay. So in order to enter into jhana, the process is quite long. First, the nimitta, then your mind absorbed into nimitta. Into nimitta for a long time, maybe 1 hour without hearing, without noticing other things. Then you reach excess concentration first. Excess concentration means neighborhood to jhana. Neighborhood to jhana. Excess concentration. Excess concentration, the concentration is not so deep. Therefore, once a while, the mind will fall into bhavanga. Why? Because the five jhana factors, vitaka, application of the mind, vichara, sustained application of the mind, piti, rapture, sukha, happiness, and the last one, ekagata, one-pointedness. When these five jhana factors are not stable, then you reach excess concentration. In the excess concentration, five jhana factors are not so stable. Therefore, once a while, you fall into bhavanga. There's a break in your concentration. But if you can develop further, if these five jhana factors are stable, then you stay with the nimitta for a long time, long time, without falling into bhavanga, then you may reach first jhana. Okay, your second question.
I thought that the Buddha distinguished between wholesome and unwholesome pleasant feelings, and that rapture was a wholesome pleasant.
This the pleasant feeling like rapture and happiness in the jhana is without fault. Without fault, but the pleasant feeling in enjoying sensual pleasures is with fault. That is condemned, blamed by Buddha, because that caused a lot of side effect. But the pleasant feeling in the first jhana is faultless. That should be encouraged. Okay.
So when we're mindful of feeling while eating, if we notice a pleasant or unpleasant sensation, it's a sign that we lost mindfulness in a prior moment of cognition, but we got it back?
No. If you are mindful of pleasant and pleasant or unpleasant, mean you are mindful. Mm-hmm. You do not lose track.
But if there's a there's a little craving or a craving that we sense, then we've lost mindfulness in a prior moment.
No.
If craving had developed.
If craving developed, I think most of time later on you will see craving sure develop one. Why? Because our mindfulness clear comprehension is not so strong to see the feeling passes away. Therefore craving develops. You are mindful, but it's not strong enough to be able to see the craving, the pleasant feeling passes away. Therefore craving develops. Unless your clear mindfulness and clear comprehension is so sharp, the moment you see it, it passes away. Then no craving. But although you see it, pleasant feeling persisting. One persisting the time, craving already developed. But never mind, you just follow the craving. Craving is also impermanent. Not it, no it. Later on I will teach. If I teach today, all mix up. Okay? Okay, any other question? Yep.
Sometimes the feeling is so strong, like a pleasant or unpleasant,
okay.
Irritation, stronger than irritation, it's hard to see to when it passed away.
That so feeling come from meditation or come from enjoying sensual pleasures?
Just daily routines.
Okay.
Like, for example, anger, rice. I notice. But then, most of the time, a lot of times it's difficult to know when it's subside.
Oh.
Pleasant feelings, same.
Because your mindfulness, because if you do not know when it subside, it's because your mindfulness and clear comprehension is not continuous. You lose track. Not continuous. Yeah.
So is it a way that you can teach how to strengthen?
When you strengthen your concentration, your clear mindfulness and clear comprehension also will be strengthened. Buddha just say, concentration leads to mindfulness and clear comprehension. Now you are aiming, you are going to this direction already. Okay? But don't hope everything come in 10 days retreat. No. You have to put effort, and when you go back also, you have to practice persistently. Persistent practice is very important to keep, to hold you in the place. Okay, any other question? No more? Okay, then we stop here.